My introduction to high school chinuch 12 years ago, when I started teaching here, I was teaching Megillas Esther. It was a Navi class, but it was before we had revamped our Navi curriculum, so we didn't really know what we were doing. So we thought it would just be a good idea to learn Sefer Yonah, Megillas Esther, Megillas Rus with the 11th graders. And through the course of the year, we were learning Yonah at the beginning of the year, then Megillas Esther, and then Megillas Rus. We never actually got to Megillas Rus, but it was enjoyable anyway. So when we were learning Megillas Esther, I remember my first year teaching, I had a kid read the Pasuk. And I forgot the exact words of the Pasuk, but the Pasuk basically said that Esther was Yifas Tawar, Yifas Mare, something like that. And the boy who was reading the Pasuk translated the Pasuk, and Esther was a Hadi. And that was my introduction to high school chinuch. I knew that something was wrong with the translation, but then I thought about it a little bit, and I'm thinking the emphasis on Esther's beauty is a little bit... I would say, seemingly against Jewish values. If you had to put together a list of what the greatest values that a Jew has to have, the greatest traits that a Jew has to have, you would certainly think of many things. You would think of pikchus, of edelkeit, of emes. You think of a lot of things and a lot of very important values, a lot of important characteristics that a Jew should have. One would not, l'chora, think of beauty as something that is that's one of the... that's one of the defining characteristics of a Jew. And yet you find that Yosef is described over and over again as being this beautiful guy. He was the Prit Tzadik points out that Yosef is unique in the sense that v'lo nimtza b'Torah shevach yofi be'ish. You have a lot of times about women in the Torah, that women are described as beautiful. You never find a man described as beautiful, as being like a positive thing, that a man is beautiful, except for by Yosef, that you find Yosef is described as beautiful. So much so, Pasuk says, Vayihi Yosef yifei tor v'yifei mareh, and Rashi quotes, that benos mitzrayim hayutzoados alachom l'estakel biyofyo. The women, it's like when, I don't know who the teenage heartthrob is now, whoever it is, the flavor of today's, today's teenage youth. No, you probably know.
Justin Bieber.
Okay, so if Justin Bieber comes to a mall, so there are probably thousands of teenage girls shrieking. Ah, that's what Yosef was. Yosef was walking through Mitzrayim. Bahavdil. Yosef comes to a mall in Mitzrayim, and there are thousands of teenage girls shrieking. Ah, they're all looking at Yosef. Why is that something that's like good for a Jew? Why is that something that's at all valuable? So to go about answering this, the Ramban, his introduction to Sefer Shemos, refers to Sefer Bereshis as the Sefer Avos and Sefer Shemos as the Sefer Habanim. Bereshis lays the foundation of Klal Yisrael, describes all the Avos and their Midos that they imbued in future generations of Klal Yisrael, and then Sefer Habanim, as we see how those actually play out. And the Ramban, throughout his commentary in Sefer Bereshis, shows us Maisa Avosim Labanim. You see, here's where the Avos do something, and that affects the children. That's going to affect the Banim in later generations. And it's certainly not surprising that Yaakov's death is recorded at the very end of Sefer Bereishis. What better conclusion could there be for the Sefer HaAvos than the Petira of the last of the Avos? It helps to close the book of the Avos. What is surprising, though, is that Yosef's death is also recorded at the end of Sefer Bereishis, and then repeated again at the beginning of Sefer Shemos. So apparently Yosef sort of straddles the fence between Avos and Banim. In a certain sense, he almost has the characteristic of an Av. Furthermore, Yosef is the only one of Yaakov's children to have fathered Shvatim himself. He's the only one to have sired Shvatim. Only Yosef. None of the other children of Yaakov had Shvatim as their own children. It was only by Yosef that you find such a thing. And also, the Medrash expounds on the Dalad Minim as follows. The Medrash, we're learning Sukkah this year, so you might as well. The Medrash talks about the Dalad Minim. So the Medrash says, Pre-Eit Hadar, Ze Avram. That's Avram Avinu. Kapos Tamarin, Ze Yitzchak. It's a reference to Yitzchak. Anaf Eitz Avos, Ze Yaakov. Problem is, there are three Avos and four Minim. So what does the Medrash do? Ve'arve Nachal, Ze Yosef. So apparently, you have four. So we got to throw in one more guy with the Avos. And who do we choose? Yosef. So on all these levels, it seems that Yosef in some way is an Av. In some way, he's not just one of the Banim, he's one of the Avos. In fact, to define what an av is, what better place to look to the definition of an av versus a tolda than the beginning of Maseches Baba Kama, right? Avos Mechal Dika Toldos. That's what the Gemara says. Baba Kama. A father of something is the starting point of an idea, and usually it extends beyond itself. An av is the core, and then the toldos are what come out of that core. Each of the avos in the Torah, each of our three avos of Klal Yisrael, had a very strong mida, a very strong characteristic that was the defining characteristic of who they were. Avram chesed l'Avram. Yitzchak is the courage and the gevura, evidenced by the Akedah. And of course, titen emes l'Yaakov. Yaakov is the truth and Torah. Tmimus. So Klal Yisrael and all subsequent generations are composed of people with some combination of those midos, but we know we draw, we're yonek those midos, in some level we're yorish those midos from the avos. And there's nothing totally new and unique, it's just a difference of degree of how much we imbibe of those midos. Maisa avos simulam banim were reflections of the avos. But for Yosef to be considered an Av, apparently he has something unique about him. It's not just that he's a combination of the different midos, which he is also, but there's something unique. And what is that uniqueness of Yosef? So apparently, it is this idea that Yosef is beautiful. Yosef has Yofi. No other man is described as being beautiful. It is just Yosef. Now, how do we define beauty? Meaning, in order to understand Yosef, so we need to understand how Judaism defines beauty. So the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that there are 10 kavim of beauty that came down to the world, and 9 of them were taken by, you know this Gemara? What does it say? 9 of them were taken by? Yerushalayim. Right? 9 of them were taken by Yerushalayim. So, I was just in Israel recently, except this time I was with my wife. Last time I went alone, and this time I was with my wife. And when we go through certain neighborhoods, my wife would say, like, why can't they just make this place nicer? It's so ugly here. I mean, and I said, you're not allowed to say that. That's what the Meraglim said. That's Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. So you really shouldn't say that. But the truth is, there are people that can go to Eretz Yisrael and not really see beauty. They see a lot of dirt, a lot of dust, a lot of rocks, and they don't really see beauty. But Yerushalayim, if you ever been to Sedona, Arizona, it's gorgeous. That's beautiful. If you ever been to Venice, it's beautiful. So Yerushalayim, really 90% of the beauty in the world? How much does Sedona get? I mean, it doesn't seem to fit in terms of how we normally define beauty. Mark Twain famously described Palestine, this is the quote, a desolate country whose soil is rich enough but is given over wholly to weeds, a silent, mournful expanse, a desolation, hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. A fast walker could go outside the walls of Jerusalem and walk entirely around the city in an hour. I do not know how else to make one understand how small it is. He didn't see the beauty. Where's the beauty? So sometimes in order to understand a concept in Judaism, you need to understand what the opposite of the concept is. What's the opposite of beauty is kiur, ugliness. So we use that term also to describe sullied waters. Mayim achurim, which is the opposite of tzlula, the opposite of clarity. So apparently the opposite of yofi is something that is so sullied, so dirty, that you can't see beyond the surface. If something is under dirty waters, you can't see it. Yofi, in Judaism, is not just physical beauty. Yofi is actually sort of the opposite. Yofi is clarity. It's the ability to see what lies beneath the surface. And ironically, it's the opposite of what we normally call beauty. The world describes beauty in totally external terms. A model is beautiful, although she's a heroin addict and she has all sorts of issues and personality problems and whatever. But beautiful because on the surface we see beauty. But in Judaism we actually view beauty in a very different way. Beauty is the exact opposite. It's when we're able to see beneath the surface, that which lies beneath the surface, and we're able to draw that out. That's beauty in Judaism. The beauty of Yerushalayim cannot be appreciated by a quick external glance of Yerushalayim. It can be appreciated through understanding it, analysis, experience, knowing that in those rocks are thousands of years of Jewish history, knowing what's behind all that. What's, you know, you just see the Kotel. If you don't know the story of the Kotel, it's a wall. So it could lose all the power, all the beauty. But the more you understand it, the more you experience it, the deeper you go into it, the more you understand that it is in fact the most beautiful place in the world. It's saturated with ruchnius, it's saturated with Jewish history, the Jewish heritage. So Yosef's beauty might represent not just his beauty on the surface, the fact that he was a heartthrob. It's his beauty that represents his ability to see beyond the surface. On the surface, he's an Egyptian monarch. Beyond the surface, he's a Ben Yaakov Avinu. Yosef represents the ability to see beyond and appreciate that which is samui min ha'ayin, that which is hidden from the eye. That's why Yosef's children ana mizarid Yosef ana, and therefore do not have ayin hara. The Gemara says anyone who can count themselves amongst the descendants of Yosef is not subject to ayin hara. Why? What's ayin hara? Ayin hara is when you're able to see something, when you're able to focus on it. But if you're totally samui min ha'ayin, if you're like a dug, a fish that's samui min ayin, that's hidden from the eye's view, so that's a Zarad Yosef. That's not subject to ayin hara. That's what Yosef represents, to appreciate that which is samui min ayin. And that explains why Yosef is compared to the Aravos. If you think about it, Avram is the Esrog. The Esrog, there's another medrash that relates the Dal and Minim to different parts of the body. And what does the Esrog represent? The Esrog is the lev, it's the heart. The heart pumps blood to the rest of the body. It's the source of everything. It's the ultimate Bal Chesed of the body. It gives the blood that makes the rest of the body function. So Avram is Chesed, Avram is the Esrog. Makes a lot of sense. Yitzchak is the Lulav. Lulav represents the spine. The spine is symbolic of Gevura, of courage, of strength. When you say a person is spineless, it means he has no courage, he has no strength. Makes a lot of sense that Yitzchak is going to be compared to the spine. Yaakov is represented by the Hadassim, which relates to the eyes. There's an expression, seeing is believing. Why? That which we see, we know is Emes. We know something to be true when we see it. So Emes, for most of us, is proven when we see something. And that's Yaakov is Emes. Yosef is represented by the Aravos. The Aravos are the lips. What do the lips do? The function of the lips is to take a person's thoughts that are totally samui min ha'ayin, that you can't see, that you can't know on another person, and to express them, to bring them out, to give thoughts expression. That's what the lips do. They're the passageway for the contents of the heart and the mind to come out into the world, and that's the midah of Yosef, to uncover that which is hidden, to find the beauty deep beneath something. So Jews have a responsibility and an ability derived from Yosef to recognize that which lies beneath the surface, and to find beauty where it's not always necessarily apparent. There was a story in the newspaper a couple of years ago. It was going around the internet. I'm sure many of you saw it. The Washington Post. A man sat at a metro station in Washington, D.C. and started to play a violin. You know, one of those guys in the subway station. It was a cold January morning, and he played 6 classical pieces for about 45 minutes. And during that time, it was rush hour, so it was calculated that the thousands of people walked through the station, and most of them were just on their way to work. 3 minutes went by before anyone stopped, and then a middle-aged man noticed that there was a musician playing. He didn't even stop. He slowed down for a few seconds and then hurried up to meet a schedule. A minute later, the violinist got his first dollar tip. A woman threw the money in his cup, and without stopping, just continued to walk. You know, without even stopping, just threw it in. A few minutes later, someone leaned against the wall to listen to him, but the man looked at his watch and started to walk again. There's video footage. I saw this video on the internet, actually. There's video footage of this happening. Clearly, the guy was late for work. He had to go. The one who paid the most attention throughout the entire 45 minutes that the guy was there was a 3-year-old boy. His mother tagged him along and said, "Come on, we gotta go." Start pulling the kid away. The kid was just mesmerized. Mother pushed hard, the child continued to walk, turning his head, and as the child was being pulled away, he kept turning his head, looking back. He was mesmerized. And that was repeated several times by children. Adults kept on rushing right by, children kept on stopping. Children kept on looking. And all the parents, without any exception, forced the kids to move on. 45 minutes the musician played, 6 people stopped to stay for a while. About 20 gave him money, but continued to walk at the normal pace. He collected a grand total of $32. When he finished playing, no one noticed that he finished. No one applauded. There was no recognition. The violinist was a man by the name of Joshua Bell, who is recognized as one of the best musicians in the world. He played one of the most intricate pieces of music ever written, and the violin he was using was worth $3.5 million. 2 days before playing in that subway station, he sold out a theater in Boston, and the average seat price was $100. It's a true story. Joshua Bell, playing incognito in the metro station, was organized by the Washington Post as part of a social experiment about perception, taste, and priorities of people. Basically, in a commonplace environment, at an inappropriate hour, do we see beauty? Do we recognize it? The greatest musician in the world playing one of the greatest pieces ever written on the most expensive violin in the world, on the greatest violin in the world, hand-carved. Do we see the beauty? And who saw it? The children saw it, because their minds aren't cluttered by everything else. But every adult walks right on by. What Yosef is, what a Jew is, and what the beauty of Yerushalayim is, and the beauty that we so praise in Yosef, is all about, is being able to find the beauty in things. To be able to see something special when it's there. That's what Chazal mean when they talk about being lomed mikal adam. How do I learn mikal adam? I can only learn mikal adam if I can know how to find it. If I can know how to find that kernel of something to learn from. That's the midah that Yosef passed on to us. That's the midah he passed on to Klal Yisrael. So as Jews, we have that responsibility. We have the responsibility to be able to look at the news and cut to the core and say, no, I know what everyone else is saying about Eretz Yisrael, but I also know the truth. And I also know the beauty that's there, and the history that's there, and the heritage that's there, and why we feel so passionate about it. That's what a Jew is. That's the message of Yosef HaTzadik.